Jagannath Mishra on the occasion of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But more specifically, the verse on the board where Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata requested Nilambar Chakravarti, who is the father of Sachi Mata and grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they requested him to look into the astrological calculation, and also he at the same time Nilambar Chakravarti proposed that he'll do a name giving ceremony. So that's the particular verse on the board. You can repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, this is chapter 14, entitled Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes, text 19. Sarvalokera Karibe Ihan Dharana Posana Vishvambara Nama Ihara Eta Karana. Sarvalokera Karibe Ihan Dharana Posana. Vishvambara nama ihara eta karanam. Sarvalokera karibe ihan dharana posanam. Vishvambara nama ihara eta karana. Sarvalokera karibe ihan dharana posana. Vishvambara nama ihara eta karana.
Thank you.
Vaishnavis. Of all people, Karibe will do Ihan, this child, Dharana, protection, Posana, maintenance, Vishvambara, the name Vishvambara. Nama, name. Ihara, his. A, this. Ta, certainly. Karana, the reason. Translation, you can repeat some words at a time. This is spoken by Nilambara Chakravarti. In the future, this child will protect and maintain all the world. For this reason, he is to be called Vishvambara. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Chaitanya Bhagavat confirms that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his birth, has made the whole world peaceful, as in the past Narayan protected this earth in his incarnation as Varaha. Because of his protecting and maintaining this world in the present Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Vishvambara, which refers to the one who feeds the entire world. The movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was present 500 years ago is again being propagated all over the world, and factually we are seeing its practical results. People are being saved, protected, and maintained by this Hare Krishna movement. Thousands of followers, especially Western youths, are taking part in this Hare Krishna movement. And how safe and happy they feel can be understood from the expressions of gratitude in the hundreds and thousands of letters. The name Vishvambara is also mentioned in the Atharva Veda Samhita 3.3.16.5. Vishvambara Vishvena Ma Varasa Pahi Swaha. Om Jnana Atimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Achakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the beginning of last year, I happened to be in Juhu in Mumbai, and one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples was giving the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I attended the class. And during his discourse, he was recalling at one time that Srila Prabhupada was famous as the Jagat Guru in the mid-70s, as the spiritual master of the entire universe, in a sense, like that. And the movement was very strong, and Srila Prabhupada was, in one sense, liberally initiating disciples, like that. So, at one point, the leaders at that time were quite concerned, because although Srila Prabhupada was freely initiating disciples, whoever came, they were concerned that many of the disciples, a number, were also leaving Krishna consciousness. He was initiating, but some were also leaving and going back to their, materialistic activities again, like that. So then the leaders, they met with Srila Prabhupada. I forget the location, but the principle is that. And they said, Srila Prabhupada, you are initiating freely, liberally. At the same time, several number are also leaving Krishna consciousness, like that, going back to the material world, like that. Then Srila Prabhupada responded, yes, I have heard that some of my initiate disciples are leaving, but at least there's one thing: they are not eating meat. They are not eating meat. Like that. So, when I heard this from this disciple of Srila Prabhupada at the beginning of last year, I went into my room, and I was quite struck by this. That, yes, this glorious founder Acharya, second to none practically, and cannot be replaced by anyone else, that despite some of his disciples being wayward and sort of going back to other activities, he still kept a connection with them by saying, at least they're not eating meat. And that's a fact. That's a fact that that Srila Prabhupada is appreciating that they came to me, but they have made progress. They have made progress. They are at least not eating meat. They have made progress. They have came to me, and they have made progress. He was appreciating that fact, like that. And after the talk, I was quite affected by this, and I went to that disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was there with his good wife. I can't recall his name now, but wonderful devotee, amazing devotee. So I asked him, this is quite amazing that Prabhupada made such a statement. And then he told me, which he didn't mention in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, he told me that this sort of remark by Srila Prabhupada, where he's still keeping connection with his disciples who even have went away and are not following nicely like that. And he said the news went to those, some of them, you know, who left like that. Some of the devotees were, you know, in the ashram, they met them probably out there on book distribution or something, you know. And they said, you know, Prabhupada said this about you, that you left, but Prabhupada said this. They said, really? He said, yes, Prabhupada said this. And he said that one or two, when they heard this, they came back. They came back and tried to follow nicely, come to the program and so forth like that. Yeah. So it is significant because, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, Mahavadanyaya. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. But Srila Prabhupada is, you know, Mahavadanyaya. He's definitely more magnanimous than the Panchatattva. Of course, if the in one sense, you know, there's no exaggeration to this, because if the student excels the teacher, it's the glory of the teacher. If the student excels the teacher, it's the glory of the teacher. It brings, you could say, a good name, a better name. Oh, who is your teacher that you have excelled so much like that? So if Srila Prabhupada excelled in spreading Krishna consciousness, you know, excelled in one sense, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the previous acharyas and the Panchatattva, it's actually the glory of the Panchatattva. It's the glory of the previous acharyas. It's the glory of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we are quite aware that if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, we wouldn't have even known who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Even if you have an Indian body. Because you may know Krishna, but to some extent, historically or something, or Lord Ramachandra, but you may never come to know, you know, the actual important glory of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada. And then there's that famous arrival talk by Srila Prabhupada. And I'm sure several of you, most of you may have heard this arrival talk. It's on February 28, 1975. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada was doing a tour of Central America and was coming towards Miami, and then he landed in Atlanta. Like that. And when he came to Atlanta, he he expressed that he's very glad to see his disciples, and he mentioned where he's coming from. He's coming first from Mexico City, then from Mexico City to Caracas. Is that how you pronounce it? Caracas, yeah. That's Venezuela. And then from Venezuela, Prabhupada says, I'm coming to Miami. And and from Miami, I am here in Atlanta. And then he expresses, you know, such gratitude. in Atlanta, and he said, "And I see your temple is the best." Like that. He expresses gratitude. And immediately the devotees, "Jai, Haribo," you know, they express in great enthusiasm. Like that. Then Srila Prabhupada, very few words, but you know, words of ecstasy and deep emotion, like that. And he said, "So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind, paramakaruna, pahudohi jana, dohi jana. These two lords, Nitai Gaura Chandra, Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are very kind." And then he uses this word, you see, like that. Of course, you know, like how Krishna says to Arjuna, pasyame, pasyame, like see my universe, you see, you know, like that. Prabhupada can see, but he says, you see, they are very kind, like that. And they have appeared just to reclaim the fallen souls of this age. So they are more kind than Krishna. Krishna, he is also very kind, you know, just to say, well, Krishna is also very kind, like that. He comes to deliver, but Krishna first of all, he demands surrender. And that verse, you know, sarva dhamam parichagya, mame kam saranam raja, aham tvam sarva papibhyo mukshiyasimi masacha. So Krishna demands surrender, first of all surrender. Then Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he does not even demand surrender. It's as if come as you are. In any condition, come as you are. Like that. He is so kind. And when he mentions these words, he is so kind, Prabhupada's voice began choking up. Began choking up. And then he said, "So take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be happy. Thank you very much." And he began weeping like anything. You can actually hear that on the tape. How many of you heard this tape? Didn't you? You should try to hear this tape. Very beautiful, very deep, and very emotional. Just a few words, but you could see that he's actually seeing the causeless mercy of the Panchatattva through Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can note it down. It's a rival talk in Atlanta, February 28th, 1975. Very wonderful, amazing how deep, you know, emotionally Prabhupada became at that time. Then Srila Prabhupada used to say that to approach Radha Krishna, and we also heard similarly from His Holiness Jananda Goswami yesterday, like that, that to approach Radha Krishna, one must get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But Jananda Goswami said that in order to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one has to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. He concluded like that. But Prabhupada also says in another way, like that, if you want to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then you have to preach to people like Jagai and Madai. Like that. You have to preach to people like Jagai and Madai, because that's what Lord Nityananda did in that sense. Like that. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he said something of himself. Of course, which is not in a sense of pride, but in a sense of humility in relation to his spiritual master. Like that. He said that for many centuries, Krishna was kept locked up in a black box. Like that. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, but still he was locked up in a black box. Nobody knew him. In fact, even in India, people, when you speak to them about Krishna, Krishna consciousness, they'll say, "Oh, I know Krishna." As if Krishna is their next door neighbor or something. You know, like that over familiarity is there, like that. But here, Srila Prabhupada is speaking of himself, and he said, nobody really knew Krishna, including in India. Like that. But Srila Prabhupada said that his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave him the key, and he opened up the box, and he took Krishna out of the box, and he held him up high and showed Krishna to the world. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada said that not only did he present the Vedic culture as it is to the world. Now that many people can do. You can present the Vedic culture as it is to the world. But he said the difference was that he presented the Vedic culture as it is, but in a way that it can be accepted as it is, and that is his contribution. Not just presenting it as, but in a way that it is, can be also accepted. So Srila Prabhupada used to take, sometimes time off just to translate his books. And he mainly used to go to Hawaii. Am I pronouncing that right? Hawaii? Yeah, okay. Like that. So when he used to go to Hawaii for his translation work, he did more translation and writing than usual. Like that. So one morning, his servant, while walking with Srila Prabhupada on the beach, he remarked that, "Srila Prabhupada, you must have done a lot of translation and writing the previous night," like that. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes," like that. He said, "Oh, I could do it very quickly, but it takes time to make it presentable for the common man." This is his contribution. He said, the translation work is easy, but to actually make it presentable, that people can accept it as it is, that takes time. So it's a fact, that takes time. From the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a center in Mayapur. And I actually did some research on this. And way back in 1968, like that, when His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami joined, way back in 1968, I read some letters from Srila Prabhupada to him, like that. His name was Gopal Khanna when he joined. But Prabhupada, even before he initiated him, said, "No, Gopal Krishna." Before he called him that, Gopal Krishna. Like that. So even before he initiated Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he wrote him a letter, "My dear Gopal Krishna." like that. And at that time, he saw in him because, you know, he, coming from India, you know, Indian birth and so forth, and educated young man, like that. At that time, he wrote in a letter that, I want to get some land in Mayapur, and you should do it. Way back in 1960. So right from the very beginning, Prabhupada wanted land to build the big temple in Mayapur. And we know eventually after great struggle, His Holiness Tomakrishna Goswami was instrumental with another devotee in getting some land. So when some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples first visited this property in Mayapur, the initial property that we got, like that, they expressed some regret, like that. They said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, we are not at the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is down the road from his birthplace. You know, the actual birthplace we have just passed, like that. So they expressed some regret like that. See? But Srila Prabhupada responded, no. There are two things. There are birth and there are activities. And the famous words, birth, janma, and activities, karma, janma, karma, chame, divyam, evam yoviti tatvataha, like that. He said, but of the two, the activities are more important. He explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not famous because he took birth in Mayapur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is famous because he spread Krishna consciousness all over India. He's not famous because he took birth. So it's not important where the Lord took birth. It's more important why he took birth. Why he appeared is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Like that. So he said, from our land in Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, now the TOVP is there, the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, he mentioned something to the effect that although Mahaprabhu appeared up the road, but here the Panchatattva used to dance and chant in ecstasy. So that's why the Lord appeared. And then he quoted, you know, Priti Viti Acharadi Nagaradi Gram Sarvatma Prachar Hobamaran. And from there, it will expand all over the world, the chanting of the holy names in every town and village. we are aware that in 1965, which is actually the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's, you know, leaving Bharata Bhumi and going to, you know, via Boston to New York City. This is the 50th anniversary this year, like that. See, from August leaving onto October arriving, like that. Srila Prabhupada, we are aware, I believe His Holiness Bhadrinarayan Swami was mentioning how he was a penniless beggar. You mentioning this some days ago?
Apparently
a penniless beggar. Yes, yes, that is true. Now, apparently, just to complement what Maharaj is saying, apparently a penniless beggar, but he carried the greatest treasure of love for Krishna, like that, within his heart. So we are aware that he approached Sumati Morarji, the chairperson of the East India Steam Navigation Company, for free passage on one of her ships to America. So when he arrived at the offices in Mumbai, like that, Mrs. Morarji had one officer
named Mr. Choksky. Like that. I don't know whether he's still living, but the devotees were speaking to him in Mumbai, like that, about what really happened, like that. So they were all very nice people, including Mr. Choksky, like that. So when the devotees, many years later, you know, after Prabhupada, you know, departed also, his manifest pastimes, like that, they met Mr. Choksky in Mumbai, like that. So he started speaking to him, like that. Because Prabhupada met the officer first before he could meet Sumati Maharaji. So the officer sort of, you know, sussed out Prabhupada and said, "Why have you come?" Like that. So Prabhupada explained, "This is the reason I have come, that I want some free passage to go to America." And this officer, Mr. Choksky, he started teasing Srila Prabhupada. He was explaining, he started teasing. And he said, "Why do you want to go to America at such an old age?" Like that. And before Srila Prabhupada could respond, he gave the answer. He said, "I know. I think you want to see the sights there and you want to go and enjoy." Like that. See? Then Srila Prabhupada humbly replied, because Srila Prabhupada is a beggar for passage to. He humbly replied, he said, "See, Mr. Choksky, you know, my life is practically finished. What is there for me to enjoy? I am almost 70 years of age." Like that. He said to Mr. Choksky, and this was also reminding me when His Holiness Bhadri Narayan Swami was mentioning how Srila Prabhupada was sitting on this park bench. Something like a Mr. Forrester or something?
Sitting in the park.
Sitting in the park.
Grass.
No. Where he was saying, "I have so many temples there," right? Yeah, gone to see the return passage. Then he was sitting in this park and he was explaining to the man on the park bench, you know, and something like, "I have, there's many temples, many devotees," and so on. Of course, ISKCON wasn't even formed and incorporated, and he was speaking like this, like that. So when he was speaking like that, this reminded me of this. But this is prior to even going to, you know, New York City. Like that. And then Srila Prabhupada told Mr. Choksky that, "I am not going to enjoy there and see the sights." But Prabhupada from Mumbai, you know, he's a Trikalagya. Prabhupada is Trikalagya. He can see past, present and future. He can see up, he can see below, in all directions. He's just Trikalagya. He can see past, present and future. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada was telling Mr. Choksky, "But I know that the young people there, a whole generation of them, like that, they are frustrated and they are confused. Like that. And I want to help them. And I want that they should become happy." The Prabhupada is sitting in Mumbai begging for passage, and he can see that, "I want to go there and make them happy." Like that. See? So this is Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission. It is the same mood and mission of the Panchatattva and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's quite amazing that Mr. Choksky, when he was speaking like this, the devotees were recalling, when he was explaining, he sort of broke down. You know, he broke down. He said, "You know, I feel I really offended him. You know, by saying, 'You're such an old man, why you want to go there? You want to go and enjoy.' You know, like that. And he broke down, like that. Completely broke down, like that. And he said, but those words, that he could see the people there, a whole generation, that are frustrated and confused, I thought, you know, what is he speaking about? But now I could understand that he knew why he's going to America. In that sense, like that. You know, I'm in my mid-50s, like that. And, you know, I don't know what condition I'll be in when I'm about 70. And you understand? It's like that. And now, you know, wherever I go as a sannyasi, you know, you get everything needed, you know, basic food, clothing, shelter. You know, people are charitable, you know, like that. They want to serve a sannyasi and so forth, like that. And, you know, we have nice rooms to stay in. Nice rooms to stay in and so forth. Of course, you know, we see that the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, you know, they struggled. They gave the youth and young adulthood, you know, to the mission of Krishna consciousness, fully surrendered to Srila Prabhupada and so forth. But now we have it all on the plate, you know. You know, everything is comfortable, you know, and so forth, like that. But just see how Srila Prabhupada struggled, a penniless beggar, but with the greatest treasure of love for Krishna, and also how the disciples of Srila Prabhupada struggled to spread Krishna consciousness, and in the formative years to actually maintain in great sacrifices, so forth, not much money, scarcity, eating khichdi every week, and you know, if you're lucky, eating lots of potatoes more than anything else, and looking forward just to the Sunday feast, and eating for the whole week the Sunday feast, you know, like that. So today, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and by the mercy of his pioneering disciples who gave the youth and young adulthood, we are practically enjoying like that. So therefore we should try to go to new places and preach. There's many places pioneering Krishna consciousness like that. I was feeling like this a lot. So last year I went to Malawi, you know, new Krishna consciousness is pioneering there. It's a small African country. This year I'm planning to go to Rwanda. There's nothing there, so you know, try to do like that. See, just to remember how the devotees of disciples of Srila Prabhupada pioneering Krishna and Srila Prabhupada himself, like that. So we should try to go to new places and spread Krishna consciousness in the mode and mission of Srila Prabhupada, like that. Now, coming to the slightly esoteric way of why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, but briefly, like that. We are aware that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as nicely rendered by His Holiness Prayananda Swami yesterday. You know, the famous Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha Krishna and appeared in the mood of a devotee. And appearing in the mood of a devotee in the sense to feel the love of the gopis for Krishna, particularly Srimati Radharani, like that. Now, for me personally, that is theory. It's too high. It's too high. Like that. So His Holiness Girirat Swami quotes that one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared for the internal reason of Krishna trying to experience, not just experiencing, trying to experience Radharani's love for him. Like that. So this is quite an elevated, a deep state of consciousness. And he came in the mood of a devotee, like that. So one disciple asked the Prabhupada, how do we relate to this and how do we feel this way also? How do we relate to this like that? So Srila Prabhupada replied that the way to develop love of the gopis for Krishna, you know, in the mode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that, is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Quite amazing. Like that. Is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And when I heard that Srila Prabhupada said such a statement, I was feeling, well, how do you relate to this now? How do you relate to this? Like that. So I coined something in terms for my own personal realization, for whatever it's worth, like that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feels separation from Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, like that. But I cannot feel that, like that. So for me personally, it is not feelings of separation. For me personally, is to serve in separation. So there's a difference between serving in separation and feeling separation. Okay. So similarly, although I personally have not met Srila Prabhupada like that, I'm a grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada, but at times I feel separation from Srila Prabhupada. But that feeling of separation from Srila Prabhupada comes in serving in separation by spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Like that, you see. So feelings of separation are the abode and consciousness of the residents of Vrindavan. We can serve in separation. Later on, if by the mercy, you know, of the residents of Vrindavan and the disciplic succession, we may feel some separation, you know, in our later stages when we have no more can function as missionaries, you know, in that sense, like that. So service and separation is the most important, like that. Not just feelings of separation and doing nothing, like that. Should be active. I'll conclude with one more you could say sort of an anecdote, very brief, like that. I was here in Vrindavan several years ago, come every year though, and His Grace Vishal Prabhu was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class right here. You know, Vishal and Vishalini, like that. So they Vishal is you could say he's powerful and he's uniquely different in a pure way. Like that. Vishal. You know Vishal? He comes around. So he gave a very wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam class. Amazing. I mean, like that. You know, in his own innocent, simple, pure way. Wonderful. I was struck by it. So, after the Bhagavatam class, I sort of have a tendency to go to Srila Prabhupada's disciples and ask something, you know, like that. Ask something, if I can, like that. So, if you know Vishal, Vishal is very bold. Nobody can stop him to go and see Srila Prabhupada. Even if Srila Prabhupada has personal servants, has secretaries, and even has maybe even a bodyguard, he will mow his way through and go to Srila Prabhupada. This is Vishal. And Prabhupada allowed it. Like that. This is Vishal's disposition, you know? Like that. Like, go his way through, like that. So as Vishal, tell me one thing that struck you the most in relation to Srila Prabhupada, or if Srila Prabhupada told you something. He said, yes. Like that. And he said how he mowed his way through to the secretaries, the servants, and the bodyguard, and he went to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada saw, you know, he's bold. He just goes up. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, I have a question." Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes." He said, "Can you define precisely a devotee in ISKCON? Can you define precisely ISKCON? And can you define precisely the activities of a devotee and the activities of ISKCON?" Prabhupada. Quite amazing. Like that. And he said, Srila Prabhupada defined it in 6 words. Like that. And Prabhupada said, "Chant Hare Krishna, spread Hare Krishna." That is ISKCON. That is the devotee of ISKCON. And that is the activity of the devotee, and that is the activity of ISKCON. Amazing. Chant Hare Krishna, spread Hare Krishna. And this is the consciousness of the Panchatattva, and this is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared for us in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Thank you very much. I believe we don't have time for any questions, right? It's past. Huh? I can take some questions or comments? Sure? All right, the management is giving us blessings. If somebody has some comment or question, please. Okay. You have a microphone?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. You were speaking about that spirit of sacrifice of Srila Prabhupada and also of his disciples. Nowadays, as you've mentioned, ISKCON is established in most countries of the world, and we can see that the mood is more to look for employment or security or a position where one feels accepted. What should be our mood, our attitude to preserve this spirit of sacrifice and pioneering? You mentioned going to new places. Some people can do that, but for the most part, people are where they are. So it's not a new place, it's just same old, same old. So what can they do to preserve this spirit of sacrifice and surrender, to also feel that connection and protection that we see present in those devotees?
Mm-hmm. Our movement has taken a little bit different turn in the early 90s. Like, I joined in the early 80s, and I always lived in temples, and you know, living in temple means the mission of Krishna consciousness, going out, preaching, distributing books, and things like that. But the movement took a little turn in the early 90s, maybe late 80s, early 90s, when it now became more congregationally based, like that. So for devotees who are congregationally based, they cannot really travel much. You know, they have their work and they have their families, and so forth. At the same time, we can take strength, like for example, from His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu and the Yatra in Silicon Valley. Yeah. Like for example, they may not have like ashram-based devotees. I don't think hardly anyone stays in the temple there or something. But, you know, by His mercy, His potency and inspiration, coming through the disciplic succession, you know, He's engaging so many devotees in the congregation in the mission of Krishna consciousness. In the mission of Krishna consciousness. So that can be there, like that also, engaging the congregation in the mission of Krishna consciousness, like that. And I've seen that, yeah, in India, like in major temples, in practically all temples in India, You know, they take the book distribution marathon quite seriously, including the congregation. Like that. To name a few, Delhi, temples, all the temples in Delhi, all the temples in Mumbai, temples in the south like Tirupati, constantly distributing books every day and so forth, with the congregation, devotees, like that, yeah. So one may be, you know, situated and not be moving, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the household of Brahman Kurma in South India, Amara Agyaya Guru, you know. You become, you know, spiritual master and give the teachings of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, like that. So we have to instill that, like that. Another thing I should say with all due respects, you know, not like offending anyone, like that. We should come to Krishna consciousness that even after, you know, prior to being initiated and even after being initiated, we should realize that we're coming to Krishna consciousness to serve. We should not come to Krishna consciousness to enjoy. You see the difference? Yeah. So it's not like, you know, if you're initiated, you come just on a Sunday feast to enjoy. You should also take some part in the mood and the missionary spirit of the founder Acharya and of all those, you know, disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They join because of the mission and they spread the mission. Like that. So like that. So with all due respects, you know, not offending anybody, but if we just change the consciousness that we should come to Krishna consciousness after being like a member in the movement, initiation and so forth, to serve. Don't come to enjoy. Of course, the best enjoyment is to serve. That's the best enjoyment, is to serve. Yeah. You'd like to add anything? Yeah. Microphone. Switch it on.
Very short.
On the other side? No. Yeah.
Very short and inspired by your excellent class.
Thank
you, no, I mean it. You were talking about Prabhupada's pioneering spirit, his apparently being a beggar, and his humility. So they asked Prabhupada one time, newspaper reporters, why did you come to America? There's so many places, why America? And Prabhupada said, well, some of my godbrothers, they went to England and failed. Other godbrothers, they went to Scandinavia and failed. Another godbrother went to Germany and failed. So Prabhupada said, in his deep humility, I thought if I'm going to fail, then let me fail in a new place. But, as you were saying, Prabhupada being prescient or able to see into the future,
yes.
Prabhupada had a strategy. The whole world is chasing America. Let me go and take that frustrated generation, the fruit of the nation, and turn them to Krishna consciousness, and the whole world will change. And he actually did it.
Yes. Thank you very much. With that wonderful anecdote from His Holiness Bhakti Narayan Swami Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, I believe we should end. I see your hand up, but we should end. He also has his hand up, so I don't know what to do. So between the two, you have to decide. I'm not going to make the decision.
Who did you see first?
I think I saw him first. Then I saw his. Is that all right?
Thank you, Maharaj, for such a nice class. As you said, Prabhupada's instruction to chant Hare Krishna and spread Hare Krishna. Sometimes it seems to be a conflict, like how much time to devote for our own chanting and how much for spreading. So, like for our own sadhana and activities for preaching. So, can you please?
That's deeply individual. You know, for a sannyasi and a brahmachari, it's easier to put more time into the mission and chant. But if you are a grihastha, you have duties as a mother, father, husband, wife, You have duties over the children, so you have to, but put some time for the mission. Set aside some time for the mission. Then you're living in the consciousness of the founder Acharya, and you're living in the mission in the spirit of being a member of ISKCON. Some time should be there. Even if you're a householder. It's wonderful. Like that. Many devotees who preach and who are also grihasthas, like that, and they explain to me that if I don't preach, I have difficulty in chanting my rounds. They said if I preach, my rounds, chanting my japa even goes better. Like that. So it is not just to follow the principles and chant one's japa. Like that. It goes together like that. Chanting Hare Krishna and giving Krishna consciousness, the holy name, to others in different ways, including book distribution. So both go together. And we are aware that the more you give Krishna consciousness, the more you receive consciousness of Krishna. And that makes your japa even better. Both ways. It's interdependent. Is that alright? Yeah. So try to give some time to the preaching, even if you have so many prescribed duties as a householder, especially. Yeah. I believe we should stop. Is that okay? Yeah. Thank you very much.